our tech stack. So excited to be here with Eric, Judy, and Maria. So I'd love it if maybe Eric, we'll start with you.
Yeah,
Tell us a little bit
absolutely.
about yourself.
So my name is Eric Boehler. I am Nextiva's Senior Manager of CRM. Nextiva is a cloud-based business communications provider. We provide innovative solutions that scale effectively for any size of business. And we have something called Amazing Service. And what Amazing Service is, it's really our commitment to give 120% every time in everything we do. So it's going above and beyond all the time. And that's really one of our biggest competitive advantages.
Cool. Great. And Judy.
Hi, everyone. I'm glad to be here. I head up corporate marketing for Big Switch Networks. We are a next-generation data center networking company, and we offer software for networking, cloud fabric, and monitoring and security visibility. I have been in marketing operations and marketing for probably my entire career, and I think marketing operations and metrics is one of the most. I geek out on it. I love it. So I'm excited to be here to talk to you about it.
Awesome. And Maria, great to see you again.
Good to see you. I know marketing metrics, you guys are expecting this to be the party session, so we will try to deliver. We are all actually drunk already, so that should add to it. So I'm Maria Pergolino. I think I'm a lot funnier than I am. I work for a company called Anaplan that does what we call connected planning. Imagine, I'm sure most of us have like budgets and campaigns and things maybe in a spreadsheet to come up with your total budget. All of that is, we keep an Anaplan, and what's cool is it connects up into the finance plan, so we actually can grab more dollars or let them know what we're doing. And I definitely care about marketing metrics. I just joined Anaplan, but I was at a company for 5 years named Aptus, called Aptus. And prior to that, I spent 4 years at a company that you've probably heard of, Marketo. If I didn't have great marketing metrics, I wouldn't have done as well as I have.
For sure, for sure.
Thank you.
I have a lot of questions for you guys. So we'll kind of like, I'll ask each of you separately a few of these questions. And Judy, we'll start with you.
Sure.
Okay. Let's do this. We know that sales and marketing has changed a lot over the years, especially in regards to technology, and we have all of these great metrics and analytics. What are a few of the challenges that you've seen around sales and marketing as it relates to data and metrics, and then a few of the realities that you've seen as well?
Okay. Challenges and realities.
Yes.
So I would say at this point, we have so much data. And when I think about what matters, what our executives care about, what I care about in measuring operational success, I can slice and dice the numbers through any combination and permutation because we just have so much now. And most of what we do is a field in a data set or a profile, so you can carve it. It gets overwhelming, and I find that it's best to. But for me, that's the biggest challenge, is because I want to answer all the questions at all the granularity, and that's not necessarily productive, but I'm interested in it. So the reality is, I think about metrics in terms of what matters to the business, what matters to the board at the strategic level. The question they're asking is, we're giving you X amount of money for marketing. How is that returning to my business? So there's some real simple metrics we focus on, which is revenue growth and pipeline. Those two, right? From there, I think about how are my programs running, and I get to a level of sort of campaign and sort of what I would call pipeline KPI reporting, which is super relevant. And then I can look at how my campaigns are working or not working and diagnose. And then there's sort of everything else, right? And if I get those top two right, those are the most relevant because then I can operationalize my programs and get them to do more, determine if I need additional technologies, if I need additional content, whatever it is, right? That pretty much shows up in the numbers.
Perfect. Yep. Definitely a challenge. And Maria, what are you seeing kind of the challenges and realities around sales and marketing when it comes to reporting?
Yeah, I think that marketers create a, and I know this is a mix of sales and marketers, but marketers put themselves at a disadvantage by talking about things like MQLs and SQLs and not in the metrics that the CFO and CEO talk about. I think to have good marketing metrics, you have to start with understanding, you know, you have to have a really good business acumen. If you are in marketing and you don't describe yourself that way, you have to have a plan to improve there. You need to understand what how the company measures itself, how what the company sees as success. And you may think, well, it's revenue and that's obvious, but that's not always the case. Companies have top line and bottom line targets. There's a certain amount of spend we do want to do to show growth in the business. For example, if we were spending too little in marketing, it would look like we weren't making the proper investments. So really understanding what the business defines as success, being able to talk as a peer to finance, not as a subordinate to finance, and similar for sales. I just joined the organization I'm at about 2 months ago, and there was so much data that the marketing team have, and I've really only paid attention to one number, which is pipeline. Because pipeline's a number that the sales team understands, it's a one that the finance team understands, and so we're talking in a common language. If I was to walk into one of our leadership meetings and start talking about MQLs, I would be perceived as, you know, junior in the organization. And so really being able to, you know, I know what is happening within the marketing team, and I have all those activity-based metrics and all of the things that we're using to run our marketing team, but really being able to speak in the language of the business is important, and I think that that's important for a marketer at any level.
Great, thank you so much. And Eric, sure. What are you seeing?
We've had a lot of challenges in the past around really what our prospects are interested in, when mm-hmm. to deliver engaging content, and really just what's most effective in them. And also really how to align best with sales and marketing. So there's been a lot of challenges around that and really figuring out the best way to deliver content when a prospect is ready to talk to our sales teams, and really just leveraging our tools to be most effective at warming prospects up and things like that. And we have come a long way in alignment too with sales and marketing and really improving some of these reporting metrics that are important to us. So for example, like time to contact is huge. And really getting reporting standardized across multiple systems has always been another big challenge for us too. And I think the reality is there's always going to be challenges in marketing and sales and alignment, but there is quite a bit that you can do to improve your insights and actually gain a competitive edge.
Awesome, thank you. And Maria, we'll start the next question with you. What types of campaigns are you measuring? We have demand gen campaigns, we have nurture campaigns. How are you measuring them differently, and how do you measure success?
Yeah, I think just to, as an idea, you know, in coming into a business or if you're planning for the new year, often, you know, you start with what those business challenges are and you think about how the organization can align to achieve, to whatever that plan is. And so I like to take all of the people out of the organization, like just start with a blank piece of paper and think about, make a list of all the things we need to do and build an org that can achieve those goals. Think about for each position how you would measure success. And I like to group teams by those success metrics. So for example, if you have some teams that are based on volume, maybe things like people to the website or brand, right? Grouping those together where there's common metrics. There's parts of your team, maybe ABM, maybe field marketing, that all are looking at deal acceleration metrics and making sure that they're grouped together so that as a marketing leader, I can understand the effectiveness in each area. Should I put a dollar more in events, or should I put it into the website? By grouping kind of those with similar metrics together, I can do that compare and contrast. Once I've figured out then the roles and how we're going to measure each one, I take people like out of the parking lot and put them in their roles, and it gives me an idea of what positions we need to hire for, where we need to grow skill sets, and then what each of those team members have is a clear set of objectives, and they're grouped with then peer members that have similar goals. And so then you can start comparing campaign effectiveness. I see all the time where people aren't grouped that way. And so you have part of one team, you know, if you put your field marketers on the same, team as your, let's say, digital marketers, and they're speaking different languages, right? The some don't appreciate the deal acceleration, others won't appreciate the lead acquisition the same way, and it's really hard as the leader to say, this is how, you know, should I put a dollar more in one place or the other? And so I think being really clear about what the goal of each of those roles are and being able to let those teams then make the decisions across that spend is important.
Yeah, for sure. That's really insightful. And Eric, what campaigns are you guys measuring and how are you measuring them differently? Nurture, demand gen, and how are you measuring success?
Yeah, so right now we're working on a number of campaigns. We're focused heavily on demand generation through ads and emails. Mm-hmm. And we have quite a few nurture campaigns going as well. And then we're doing account-based campaigns and air cover campaigns too. And I think for each of those campaigns, the metrics vary, but ultimately it's really trying to get to the bottom of what's driving the most revenue, right, and where that ROI is. So again, like the metrics for each of those are different, but it's generating leads, generating MQLs and SQLs, and really just, like I said, ultimately it's all about the revenue.
Awesome. And Judy, what are you guys doing?
So we're... I love both these answers. They're just causing me to think about how we're structuring our campaigns and how we're running things. So it helps me too. Thank you. So I look at our campaigns across the sales process and the customer journey. And I think about them from top of funnel, middle of funnel, and then sales acceleration to close. So basically for us, that's stage four and beyond where it's truly an opportunity and it's about to convert. And what's our rate of conversion between those three segments, if you will? And we have campaigns running in all of them, right? So for top of funnel, it's inbound from a syndicated content site. It's email nurture flows that are more introductory in nature and tone. It's using tools that help us find more of the people that we have already sold to, so predictive and AI tools that help us identify net new leads, net new heartbeats, we call them, oops, because they're not really a lead yet. They're a heartbeat that looks like someone else, and so they have a high fit rate, if you will. So that's really top of funnel. And in the startup land I live, where I'm still trying to educate a lot of people about what Big Switch is and what we do, a lot of what we do is around awareness and education. Once I see leads falling deeper through the funnel in the middle to the next level SQL, we then start to bring more of the case study content, and they become more than educational. They become more specific to Big Switch, to our solutions, what the economic value is. And so the conversation starts to shift. And my conversion shifts too. My conversion rates change and what I'm measuring there changes. So I agree with both my partners in terms of how they're doing this. It's very organizational and how you set up a top of funnel team for campaigns and what they're measured on and what their objectives are, because the whole conversation there is different than when you're in the middle and you have someone who knows who you are and what you do and they're actually looking at a project and researching and trying to figure out what they're going to purchase. That's a little bit of how we think about it.
Awesome, thank you. And it's really exciting to be up here on stage with you guys because you guys have so much experience and so much knowledge to share with everybody. So on that same similar topic, what technologies are you guys using to really drive the results that you've been seeing? And Eric, I'll start with you on that one.
We use many different technologies. I think probably a lot of people in this room can speak to the enormous amount of platforms that they utilize. Two of the primary ones that we use to sell and market are Salesforce and Pardot. We've seen a lot of success in those platforms, a lot of great results, and like I said, there's tons of other platforms that we use too, but those are really our go-to and where most of our teams live in.
Awesome, that's great to hear. And Judy.
So we use Marketo and Salesforce as our core foundation, like probably 80% of the room here. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, we use a fair number of data source tools like Discover.org and then also LeadSpace for predictive. I have syndicated content sites that also help us with our account-based marketing activities. And then I'm actually looking to build out my stack a bit more with some engagement platform to really understand engagement across a buying team and across the life cycle. I think that's probably our next block.
There's probably a couple people you can talk to.
I know. Did you see them in there?
I saw a couple people there.
So when I never answered a question directly. So the when I think about marketing technology, the way that I think we all put a lot into understanding the different marketing channels. So when you think about marketing, there's really, you know, if you really strip it back, you essentially have, you know, essentially it is content, some type of content that you're creating, and that could be a video or white paper, whatever it is, and you're pushing that content through channels. And that channel could be, and I know we're B2B, so we don't think a lot about TV and radio, but those are channels just like social media and email and content syndication and all the different ways that we push content through to create awareness about our organizations. And that content, you know, that content that we push through channels, they go to what you called heartbeats, which I loved, but, you know, people essentially. And sometimes those people are our customers, and sometimes they're our prospects, and sometimes they're influencers. And so when you think about marketing technology, I always try to think about, you know, what part of that is it doing? Is it helping me, like you mentioned, discover, or is it helping me build out those people, and how well do I have that covered? And I try to think about the tools that are gonna help me make sure that I know who we're trying to sell to. There's then the content piece, and I know there's some vendors here. Highspot was one that there was the CMO forum, and we're Anaplan uses, but I think a number of other companies were using in there to help manage content. We use Kapost at my current organization to manage content, so different tools to help with that content piece. And then there seems to be lots of tools that help us within the channel. And so those are all things that we use to look at our PPC and to look at the content syndication and all the things to measure that success. And so I think if you really understand what's happening in your marketing, you compare your tools to that. I measure them and, you know, how well they're doing in achieving for, is this good content? Are we maximizing those channels? And do we have the right people? Across all of that, I think you need a strong marketing automation platform. I know, Carrie, you're with Pardot. And there's some good options, obviously, there. I think you need a strong CRM system. I was just talking about how in my living room sits a bust of Mark Benioff made out of Legos. I like that one person thought that was funny, and everybody else sighed a little. I think you need some good CMS system, or whether that be, if you're a smaller company, a WordPress or something like that, or Drupal or something. And those you just, you know, are the foundational pieces that then you build those other tools on top of.
Yeah, lots of great insight there. So you have all of these great tools, and you're measuring and you're reporting all of your prospects, all of your leads, all of your customers. How has this helped you create a more personalized and relevant experience, Maria?
I think that the great thing, and I know there's a whole nother track talking about ABM right now, and to me, the great part about account-based marketing is that, so I think it's more fun because essentially, because you know who you're trying to sell to, there's not as much waste, right? If I just go put out an ad in a newspaper, which back when I started in marketing, that was like a thing that you would do pretty regularly, even as a B2B company. There's a lot of waste. A lot of people would see that it wasn't relevant to. Account-based marketing, you're only getting to that target audience. So you can spend more, you can do more with that specific audience, and that allows for a lot more personalization. And what's great is technology has matched this kind of account-based movement. And not just with tools like Engageo that work with your marketing automation platform, but also through things like video personalization, content personalization tools that allow you to say something very personal. You can look through the history of something, you know, a prospect, that one of those accounts, those key people in the account, and deliver such a personalized message. You can talk directly to them through a personalized video. All of those things really have made, it's all of those things coming together. It's that the technology is there, the dollars are there to pay for it because you can be so specific. You're not wasting a lot of dollars because you're going so broad. All of that has allowed for this hyper personalization. And when it works, it's awesome. And we all know that because we log into Facebook sometimes or Instagram or something, and the perfect thing is sitting right in front of us that we're so excited to purchase, right? It's something that we needed. And that personalization, when it happens well, is awesome. It's not as good when it's, you know, you get something that's not as relevant and things like that. But when, you know, when we do good marketing today, it really is changing, you know, making good matches, and
it feels really good.
That's awesome. And Judy, how has measurement reporting helped you and your company create a more personalized and relevant experience for your customers?
Thank you. So that's, we're investing quite a bit in persona definition. And I think that the way we're doing that is by really dissecting who are the buying teams in the accounts that we are targeting. So the ABM effort in our company is just starting. We're transitioning from that stage of startup where you need to tell everybody because no one knows who the heck you are, to now they start to know you because analysts are writing about you and there's a little bit of brand presence and you're building momentum there, to now seeing that we know that this type of company, this type of account tends to buy faster. So let's zero in on that segment. Well, within that, for our products, because they are, we have two and they're very different buying teams, the persona mix is different. And so in order to get personalization, we've had to really dig deeply into that. And it's not just title, it's a set of characteristics about who in the whole hierarchy or in the organization that I'm selling to, what their interests are, whether they're an influencer, whether they're an architect, really putting the whole solution together and then defining the requirements, or whether they're a budget holder and ultimately an executive who's signing your agreement, right? So for each one of those people, we've defined a persona, a set of characterizations that talk about how they buy, when they buy, what they buy, and then have mapped our content to that and then mapped the campaigns accordingly.
Awesome.
So that's how we're driving. It's a little bit more mechanical, but that's kind of how we're doing it.
That's awesome. Great tips. And Eric, how are you guys using your measurement and reporting to help drive more personalized experiences?
Yeah, I definitely agree with a lot of what Judy and Maria said. I mean, it's really a holistic approach, right? So having all of the systems and tools that you need to have the information on who you're selling to, who are your buyer personas, and have automated tracks, right? So we leverage Pardot heavily in pretty much automating almost the entire nurture process, right? So we know what people are interested in, when to deliver it to them, and really what our cadence should be for interacting with our prospects. So again, we do a lot of what Judy and Maria said, but really just making sure you have everything in place to know what your prospects are interested in and automating that as best as possible. That's how we see success.
Awesome. That's great to hear. Okay, so I know that we have about 5 minutes left. So last question. You guys are doing a lot of amazing things right now. What's next? Eric, we'll start with you.
For us, we really want to focus on, you know, we've come a long way and combating some of the issues and challenges that we've had, and there's always going to be challenges, right? But what we really want to do is leverage our technology even more to see further success. So Nextiva has used kind of some of these initiatives and these platforms and systems and methodologies to really dominate our markets, and we've grown 40% year over year. And we think that by leveraging technology even further, that we're going to continue to accelerate that growth and see similar success, if not better. So it's really just seeing what, you know, we can get out of our systems and tools and getting them to integrate better and really use them.
Awesome. Awesome. And Judy, you guys have done some pretty cool things. What is next on your roadmap?
Really, I think, as I said, we are our account-based marketing effort is embryonic, is what I'd say. I really want to push that as our next strategy to get to a point where the majority, 80, 90% of what I'm investing in and where I'm going with my team is very specifically account-based, by either use case or industry, and that we're really optimizing our lead space implementation and getting very, very accurate in the people we're connecting with so that my conversion is faster. If I can optimize that over the next 12 months, as our company doubles every year, and marketing has to match that with pipeline, working with my sales team who, you know, frankly, I've got reps who are brand new and in a cold territory, If I can be account-based, I absolutely see a way to warm those territories up much faster, which accelerates revenue and pipeline for the company. And so I have tripled down on that whole strategy right now. So that's really what's next, is sort of building that out. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome.
I loved, I'm going to, again, not answer my question directly and comment on yours, but
I love
that answer, right? Like what I just heard, like I can imagine saying that to a CEO, and you know, there wasn't any MQLs in there. It was really about, it wasn't, hey, look, it was, you know, I want to try to align better with the business, accelerate the pipeline. Like that was, like, I hope all of us have more conversations like that, kind of back to that business acumen. Like, I was wishing that I answered after before you, not after you.
Oh, gosh.
I think I had looked, you know, when I was at a marketing automation company, the, you know, lead nurturing and then lead scoring were the hot things. We then saw content marketing and things like infographics take big rise. Predictive lead scoring, you know, was then kind of the hot thing, and now we're looking at account-based marketing. And I was thinking a lot about, you know, are these trends that then go away? Is it, do we even need to learn about these things? But if you look, if you were to go and Google, do you guys know Google Trends? It allows you to kind of see the search, like how many people are searching on a topic. And if you were to look up any one of those things I just mentioned, what you see happen with any of the, you know, starting as early as, you know, as search marketing, you know, when the internet happened, the first things we went to was search optimization and pay-per-click. And then we added on all those other things I mentioned. And if you look, if you were to go to Google Trends and search those terms, it's not that when we say trend, you think about something that's hot and now it's not. But really what happens is in with any of those topics, there's a rise to it and then it doesn't go away. And what I think is happening, I think marketing is becoming harder. It is a more complex discipline. You know, it's the strategy of the business, but we now have to know so much more to really understand, you know, how to take that strategy forward. And so what we're doing is we're adding tools to our tools belt. So it's not that we stop doing search optimization or PPC or lead nurturing or lead scoring or, and I can, you know, all the way up to ABM. It's that we have to become a master of these things, you know, have them in our tool belt and then continue to add. And so understanding what the trends are really important, because if you can get there faster, you can create a competitive differentiation for your organization. I think there, you know, it feels like buzzwords, things around AI and machine learning, but it is ultimately going to change, I think, our field in a lot of ways. I think it's early. The skills that I'm trying to personally invest in is not, like, I don't need to know how the algorithm works behind that machine learning bot, whatever, but what I do need to have is a better interpretation of data, because a lot more is gonna become automated. And so all of us, you know, we should all trade cards and get to know each other, because we need to know how, you know, we need to get better and better. And you kicked off talking about, you know, how much data there is, but it's only gonna get worse. And we have to be able to understand it, interpret it, and get, you know, more precise to not only do better marketing, but create better customer experiences, make sure we're not being wasteful with our company's dollars. And so I'm trying to spend my time there.
Awesome. Well, this has been really insightful. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Eric, Judy, Maria, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And sharing your insights with us.